we're going to sing again. You can remain seated as we sing this. Crown Him with Many Crowns. How many of you noticed the diversity of age up here? I was going to say it went all the way from teens down to so low you couldn't hardly see them over here, and then I spotted Christy. Uh-oh. I better leave that alone. All right, 161. Crown Him with Many Crowns. First, second, and last.
Ashamed myself, the life I was living. some scripture as well as lead us in prayer, please.
Wow, are we blessed with talent here? Good morning, y'all. Happy Easter. The scripture is Acts 2:22-36. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved in God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified his Son, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. That Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this sign which ye now see and hear. Therefore, let all those of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for all the ministries that are in work today that you blessed so richly. We thank you for this church family, Lord. We thank you for our pastor and his family and all the folks who come to worship here who love you as one. We praise you, Lord, for the work you've done on Calvary, for your mercy, your grace, and forgiveness, and that you've given that to us today. We remember it because he has risen, Lord, and we praise you for that. Please be with us now as we raise up these songs of praise to you and the worship that follows. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Laura, Leah, Adrian, and Alexa.
John 20:31. But
these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
But these are written. To what does that refer? Miracles. We often talk about the wondrous miracles of Jesus Christ, walking on the water, healing the blind, and raising the dead. Even when we say the word miracle, that's what we think of. But how can these miracles from so long ago relate to us today? Through atonement. We don't usually refer to the atonement as a miracle because it's so much more than that. But it is the greatest miracle of all time. There would never be a way to express everything the atonement means in one song, but we hope that you'll get a glimpse of how personal it is and how important, and realize that the atonement of Jesus Christ really does rescue us every minute of every hour of every day.
Thank you.
Amen.
Adrian and I are still teens, so we're going to be singing this morning, Glorious Day.
Choir, just wait until the offering. I'll call you up.
time, so they come and get in place, and you can watch and enjoy.
Bible stories there of what the Lord Jesus did, you probably were lost as to what was going on up here. But they told quite a few of the things the Lord Jesus did, and certainly climax there with the death, burial, and then the resurrected Lord. And praise the Lord for that. Ushers are coming forward at this time to receive the tithes and offerings for today. As they do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the privilege that we have to be in your house today. Such a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to celebrate the most important day of all of Christianity in our lives because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the promise of eternal life that we have with you in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. And I pray that as we continue in the emphasis of this truth, both in the songs that are sung and in the message that's preached, Lord, through it all, may you be glorified, may the Lord be lifted up, and I pray that you allow our spirits to be lifted as well as we go through the day today, celebrating and remembering what you have done for us. Bless right now in the receiving of these tithes and offerings, and for each one that gives faithfully, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
Yeah.
moment. We have a chorus that we're going to sing. It's number 407 in the hymn book, if you need that, which I do. I might be able to get it there. Thank you. You'll look at that 407. Because He Lives, and our men are going to come up and get situated there for the next special as we sing. That's why I'm leading it. Thank you much. Let's stand together as we sing, please. We'll start out with a chorus and then the first verse in the chorus. Children's Church, thank you. Why you come down? God's excuse me. Hold on, here we go. Here we go. Because He Lives.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Upon the thorn and bent his heart, his Lord, his heart. State your name so that those that are being able to watch online, they may not be able to see you, but they'll be able to hear with you speaking into the microphone and telling your name so that they know who's giving the testimony. So who would like to be first this morning? Don't be bashful.
My name is Haley. So I've really been praying to God that He would help me move a job and help He would help me move out. But I finally moved out of my house. And I finally got a new job. So I just praise Him for that.
Amen. God provides. Who else this morning?
Hi, my name is Pam Tucker, and first of all, I want to praise that I serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
Thank God, and He saved my soul as a child and has led me all the way to this point. Just a couple weeks ago, I was really sick in the hospital, and here I am in church praising God on an Easter Sunday morning.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Next.
I'm Shelley Watson. I just want to praise the Lord for bringing me to salvation when I was a child. And just looking back throughout my life, I see how He has just kept me in His hand. He's always brought people into my life to keep me close to Him. And I'm just so thankful that we serve a risen God and that He died on the cross for me and that He loves me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Next, Beth.
I'm Beth Jones. I also just want to praise the Lord for my salvation, and I can't think of, we're already wicked people, but I would be really bad without Him. So thank Him so much for guiding me every day and giving me the strength and energy to do the things I do every day. And I just want to say thank you so much, Pastor, for all the years, and thank you for my Sunday school teacher, David Schultz, and for all these young people that are coming today, it's so heartwarming to see all these little children, and we just praise the Lord for families. And I have grown children now, and I can't say enough or put a plug about Awana's. You want to keep your kids safe and away from drugs and all this. Bring them to Awana's. Bring them to Sunday school. They need it so much.
Amen.
And I just want to thank God for allowing me to be here and do this. Just I love my shoebox ministry, and thank you all for being so supportive of it. And thanks.
Amen. Anyone else? All right, Steve. You got two. Go ahead back there.
My name's Chris. I just want to praise the Lord for everything he's done for me. He's brought me out of a lot of dark times. Just filled me up.
Amen.
Brought me joy and peace when I didn't think there'd ever be any.
Amen. God is good. God is good. Steve?
I'm Steve Metzke, and praise God for salvation. Praise God for his mercy. And praise God for sometimes saying no, because he always has something better on the other side of the yes.
That's right.
And I thank him for this church and my fellow musicians over there. We're just so blessed to be able to praise him in the many ways that we do here. And I thank him for it.
Amen. Anyone else? All right.
Well, my name is Carol Webbs. I'm new to this area, my husband and I. And I just thank God for this church. I thank him for salvation. I grew up in a church that was taught my feelings. And they were more emotional. Not emotional. But now I know that I'm not saved by those feelings. That I'm saved according to Christ and what he did on the cross.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that I have an understanding now. And I can't tell anybody until I know. Now I can tell them.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. All right, Mike.
My name's Mike. You know, the Lord saved me, and I'm grateful. But it's not about me.
That's right.
It's about him. And today, he lives right here.
Amen. He lives within our heart. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Here's the chance. No regrets. All right. We have another specialist coming at this time. David and Laura and Leah and Sharon. I think, yep, as they come to share with us just before the message this morning.
We sang this song a long time ago. How long it was ago? Lord, tell them how long it was ago.
8 years ago.
8 years ago, when Leah was how old? 7 years old. We've got a recording of it, and it's precious. Leah says, it's awful. I say it's precious. The title of this song, this song started out as a bluegrass song, and I wrote two verses to it, the last two verses to it, that makes it absolutely a beautiful song. It's entitled, I Believe.
When I hear the sound that you play.
You have your Bibles with you. You can turn with me to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, we'll get there just momentarily. Right now, though, if you go out into, and I'm sure you've seen in the last few weeks, whether it be at stores, on TV, commercials, advertisements about the bunnies, and about the chicken eggs that you can decorate and find. But you know, Easter is not about bunnies and it's not about chicken eggs. It's about a lamb.
Amen.
It's about the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus walking. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." We're told in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Christ is our Passover, the one sacrificed for us. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Those that are studying in my adult Bible study on Sunday nights, we're going through the feast of the Lord in Leviticus 23. And Passover is the first one you come to. Passover was looking back to when Israel was delivered out of Egypt, the bondage of Egypt, and it represents us being delivered out of the bondage of sin. And with that, the Lord did it through what was called the 10th plague, which was an angel of death that came and was going to kill the firstborn of every household. Excuse me. And if the household would kill a lamb and take the blood and put it on the doorpost and across the top of the door, God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will pass over that house for judgment." And it was a picture of Christ that would be our Passover lamb, without blemish, without sin, that was crucified on Calvary's cross. He had to die by the shedding of his blood because Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, no forgiveness of sin. And so Jesus Christ died there, not for his sin, but he died for my sin, and he died for yours. Thank the Lord we have a substitute that loved us enough that was willing to go and lay down his life for us on Calvary. And not only did he die there on Calvary, but we'll see that he rose again. And what that means to us. But all of the programs, excuse me, all of the programs, all the music, I'm getting worse. Excuse me. All of the music, all of the programs, the special music that was sung, the choir, everything that was shared with the same theme that what we were just talking about, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why do we celebrate it? And I said it earlier this morning, because it's the most important day in all of Christianity.
Yeah.
It's the most significant thing that has ever happened in the world. And we praise the Lord that we can celebrate it together. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 and following tells us why it's so important. And I've shared this before to you, and I'll just remind you about it. It says, "If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain." It goes on in verse 17 to say, "And you're still in your sins." You know, if Jesus Christ did not die, was buried, and rose again the third day, then I'm wasting my time right now. You're wasting your time right now if it is not true. And that's a sad thing. It went on to say that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If all Jesus could ever do, if all Christianity could ever do is help me to live a better life in this world, then I have no hope. I have nothing to look forward to.
The next verse, though, has a very significant word in it. It's the first word. It says, but. But. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Christ is alive forevermore. Amen. And he is the first fruits. That goes back into the feast that we've been studying. There's the Passover feast that was done on the Friday. There was the Sabbath that started the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then on the next day, the first day of the week after the Sabbath, was the Feast of First Fruits. The offering that was brought as first fruits. Jesus Christ has become the first fruits of them that slept, them that died. He is the prototype, if you will. He's the demonstration model of what we're going to be like when we see him.
Amen.
He is going to give us a body like unto his glorious body. And we're going to have that to look forward to from here to then. And we praise the Lord for that. That's why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important. It is important to us, and it should be important to everyone. The resurrection is recorded in several passages within the Gospels. Highlighted, it is talked about that he would be betrayed. We know that Judas did that. He would be arrested. He was tried. He was scourged. Just the one word, scourged, doesn't even give it merit to what he suffered there through that scourging. Then being crucified, nailed to the cross, as our drama team showed that, being put up on the cross there, and for 6 hours hung there, struggling to get breath in and out as he suffered. And from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock, darkness was over the face of the earth, it said, as God the Father would not look upon his Son as he bore there our sin debt. There was separation between the Father and the Son as he paid the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. Death is separation. And so we have what Jesus Christ was willing to do for us. He was scourged. He was crucified. He was buried. And then, praise God, the third day on Sunday, he arose from the dead to life again. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. There's no other religion in the world that has a living Savior.
Amen.
A living prophet. They all have died. But because Jesus Christ is alive today, he can promise eternal life to each one of us as well.
Amen.
We thank the Lord for that truth. Today I want us to look very quickly here at three facts concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, it was foretold in Scripture. We have it here in Psalm 16 and verse 10. It says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Thou will not leave. The word hell there is the word Sheol, and it's talking about the grave, death. You're not going to leave my soul in death, neither will you allow your Holy One, that's the speaking of the Lord Jesus as well, to see corruption. His body did not decay. He did not see any corruption. We take that prophecy and we look over to the New Testament, and we see both Peter and Paul quote that and talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 27, it says, let's back up to verse 25. It says, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." If you look down to verse 31, he says, "He seeing this before spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." He did not decay. And this Jesus hath God raised up, verse 32, where we are witnesses. So we have Peter that references that, and he says it was prophesied that he would rise from the dead. They didn't understand it at the time, even when Jesus spoke to them very plainly about his death and resurrection. They didn't get it. But now that it had happened, as we'll see, the Lord opened their eyes and they began to understand and remember the scripture and what they had done and what had happened to him and how it fulfilled those words. Over in Acts chapter 13, Paul gives a similar type statement in verse 35. We pick up reading, "Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on a sleep. He died and was laid unto his fathers. He was buried and saw corruption. His body decayed. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." What does he say? That Jesus Christ, when he was buried and rose again the third day, that he had paid the price completely for our sins. And that God raising him from the dead had given us the victory over sin in our life. And that Jesus Christ had paid for every sin. Because it says there that all that believe are justified from all things. What does the word justified mean? Simply declared righteous. We're made just as if we'd never sinned. Do you know that it doesn't matter how long you've been a sinner? It doesn't matter what sin and sins you have done. It doesn't matter how bad that you've been for all of your life, maybe. But Jesus says that all who will come to him and believe and trust him shall be justified from all things. Amen. That's the promise of God. And so there's no sinner that's too bad of a sinner. There's no sinner that has sinned too long for God's love and mercy and grace to forgive and to give eternal life unto them. There's no excuse if you're here today and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no excuse to leave out of here without doing it today. What a special day to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was prophesied by the prophets. It was prophesied by the Lord Jesus himself over into Matthew 27. Excuse me, Matthew 20. In Matthew 20, verse 17. It says, "And Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them," notice how clear the Lord Jesus speaks to them. Verse 18, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to discourage and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Well, it seems like they could have understood that. But as I said, they still didn't get it all. They still didn't understand it completely. But Jesus talked very clearly about his impending death, burial, and resurrection. It was not a secret. It was not anything that was hid, but it was foretold in Scripture. It was literally something that happened in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. It talks about infallible proofs that we have of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It means undeniable evidence. And there's two passages I want to look at. One is in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, we have what we call the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And on the Emmaus road there, that the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And you remember, if you are familiar with this story, how that when Jesus, this is after just the day he had rose from the dead, that these disciples were heading down there walking, and Jesus joined himself up to them, but he veiled himself and supernaturally to the point where they could not recognize who he was, and began to talk and say, what all is going on? And they said, are you a stranger that you don't know what's happened today? I couldn't believe it, and so forth. And they kept on telling about it. We thought that, you know, he was the one, and here he is dead and buried now. And we pick up reading in verse 36. Well, let's back up here a little bit more. Jesus said to them, verse 25, says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered those things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Can you imagine that particular message? Out of all of I heard in scripture, I'm thinking that this is one I would like to sit in on. Jesus Christ himself, taking the Old Testament scriptures, because the New Testament was not written at this point, he took the Old Testament scriptures and he showed them from the book of Moses with the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. He showed them out of there, he showed them from the prophets, the things concerning Messiah and what he would have to suffer and how he would rise again from the dead. He showed them all of these things. And then he went to eat with them. And as they started to eat, he broke the bread and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they realized it was him. And he vanished out of their sight. And then they got heartburn. Did not a heartburn within us? Verse 32. While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened up the scriptures, they went up, they rose up the same moment, and they took off back to Jerusalem. You think they walked? I don't think there was much walk in them. I don't know how old they were, but I know that they probably were taking up a pretty good pace getting back up there. And when they came back up, what did they find? Here were the other disciples. Verse 36. It says, and as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. All right, here they are in a room. Let's say a room like this right here. And we have the other disciples, maybe some other believers that are in the room as well. And the two Emmaus disciples come in. Now, get it. Jesus has been crucified. He's buried. Now he's risen again. There's commotion about it. What's going on? These disciples are a little bit fearful because are they going to round us up and crucify us as well? And so here they are meeting in secret and trying to make some sense of what's going on. All of a sudden, Jesus appears in the midst of them, right there in the room. He didn't come through the door. He just appeared. And they began to be fearful and thinking that they had seen a ghost. And Jesus says, hey, it's me. I have flesh and bone. Feel. He asked them, do you have anything to eat? And they gave him a broiled fish, and he ate the food. And Jesus showed himself unto them literally there as a resurrected Lord. And then later, you know, he showed himself when Thomas wasn't there at that particular meeting, was with the rest of them, and he said to Thomas, hey, look at the nail prints in my hand, my feet, my side. And don't be faithless, but believing. We have a great evidence of the proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for these that have seen him alive. Wednesday night we talked about some of those evidences that there were over 500 at one time that saw the resurrected Lord. How can 500 people get a story wrong? They can't. How can 500 people even make up and say, let's agree to tell this falsehood? They couldn't. I told them even Watergate couldn't keep it secret. How can 500 people going through great persecution of that day for those that follow Christ. How could they all stand firm to a lie? And the answer is they would not have been able to. But they did stand firm to the truth. And that truth was that Jesus Christ was alive and alive forevermore. We have so much. I could go on, but our time is getting short. It is the central truth of the gospel. You remember in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, we call it the gospel in a nutshell. And it really gives us a concise statement. It says how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We have the resurrection of Jesus Christ as part of the gospel. It's tied to salvation. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You cannot be saved without believing that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It's part of the gospel message. It takes the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You cannot separate it in its value. Jesus Christ literally died and was buried, and He literally rose again physically that we have. Over in Romans chapter 4, last verse I'll share with you. In Romans chapter 4, the last verse of Romans chapter 4, verse 25, is talking about Jesus in verse 24 that's been raised from the dead, and it goes on to talk about Him. It says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Think about that verse right now. The first, there's two parts of it. First of all, it says Jesus was delivered for our offenses. Why did Jesus go to the cross? It was because of my offenses, because of my sin, Jesus went to the cross. Why was Jesus raised from the dead? It says, for my justification, because of my justification. He went to the cross because of my sin. God the Father raised Him from the dead because of my justification. Think about that just for a moment. Think about what that means. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary, when He said those last words, telethai, how did I say that right? Finished, paid in full. When He said those words and He had paid for our sins completely, the Scriptures in the New Testament tell us that He is the propitiation of our sins. That big word simply means the satisfaction. It means that He satisfied everything that a holy, just God demanded that had to be paid for my sin and yours. Amen. Jesus Christ paid it all. Amen. Jesus Christ finished the debt completely. And because of that, God the Father raised Him up as a sign, if you will, that it was sufficient to pay for our sin debt. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a proof that I have been justified before God. Amen. And that is a great thing to celebrate. Amen. Anybody who comes to the understanding that they're a sinner, that understands that Jesus Christ died in their place on Calvary to pay for their sin and rose again the third day, anyone that recognizes that that's true and that God has given the call that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, when we by faith say, that's what I want for my salvation, I want what Jesus Christ paid to pay for my sin. When we make that choice, immediately salvation comes into our life. Our sins have been forgiven, and we have been given in its place the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we have that confidence of what He has done. Jesus paid it all. Amen. All we have to do is receive it. Have you done that today? Romans 14:9 says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived. He came to life that He might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. He wants to be your Lord, not just your Savior. He didn't come to die on Calvary to give you a ticket to get out of hell. He came to save you, certainly, but to be your Lord as well, your master, the one that calls the shots. The crucifixion, Jesus paid it all. The resurrection, all to him I owe. He deserves it all. All my life, all I have. Christian, are you living for him? Is he your Lord? It's kind of hard to separate Savior and Lord. We come to a grips. We may not understand totally what Lordship is all about, but I believe that we need to come to grips with the idea that Jesus Christ has saved us for the purpose of leading us in this world until the day that we stand before him.
Amen.
Christian, are you living for him? Martin Luther made this statement. He says, the life of Christianity consists of possessive pronouns. Possessive pronouns. He says, it is one thing to say Christ is a Savior. It's quite another thing to say he is my Savior and my Lord.
Amen.
The devil can say the first part, but only a genuine Christian can say the second.
Amen.
Can you say, today, Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord? If you cannot, why not make that choice today before you leave? Every head bow, please. No one looking around. We're going to sing a song in just a moment, an invitation in which you may respond. And I ask you right now to search your own heart. And I'm going to ask if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You would say to me, Pastor, I have already come to that point where I made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. I'm not perfect in this world, but I am pressing toward that mark. I do believe today that if I were to die today, I would be in God's presence. If you can say that with confidence of what you've known that you've done, could I see your hand raised right now, please? Thank you all around. Thank you. There's some that could not raise their hand, but I ask you right now, would you like to have the confidence today to know that if you die today, you would be in God's heaven? Anyone in that category, you would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not going to point you out, I'm not going to call any name, but say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I would like to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Anybody at all? Father, I pray that as we have heard the truth, that we would take it with us. Help us, those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, to celebrate with all of our heart today of this great day. For those that have not trusted the Lord, I pray that you would not let them rest. Well, but that the message of this gospel is in their heart, and the Holy Spirit would continue to work, that we could see souls saved. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. We ask your continued blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.